y'all want to kind of take our seats up.
We've got some more room up here if anybody needs to. All right. What's about Shalom, everybody? And before we get started, I want to say thank you so much to everybody who just last week just came in and just did Michael and Troy and JC and everybody. You know, that Darlene and I were able to go to Bogota to the conference and just had ourselves. Well, I just can't describe it to you. I just cannot describe it to you, but I can tell you this much. It was much needed. Anything other than that, words just won't suffice. And this, of course, is the word. And let's take the word that God gave and make our declaration. Hafochba, hafochba, the kolaba, hafochba, hafochba, mashiachba, turn it and turn it. Everything is in it. Turn it and turn it, for the Messiah is in it. And that is true. And our second declaration, for every good and acceptable sacrifice, there is a divine response. You can just let it go, brother. It's all right. Well, it's really kind of a tough thing about today. I wanted to tell y'all some of the things that happened in Colombia and Bogota. Some things that I will say this. Darlene and I had a great time. We were very much encouraged. We had some trials. They lost my luggage before we got to Colombia. They left it in Houston. Had my medicine in it and all my dress clothes and everything else. Which, that part of it didn't bother me. It's kind of like, hey, I get to wear jeans and don't have to wear a tie. And there was really not much that could be said about it. So that was all right. But we got some great teaching. Eldad, if you are seeing this online, Eldad Kenan, a man who is an archaeologist and so much more in the land of Israel, he told us some things that blew our socks off. And I'll tell you more about that later. But a week ago this Friday, I already had my message for this week. And so, instead of teaching today, I may end up preaching, something that I don't do. I'm more of a teacher, but there may be a little preaching going on today. So, I want to start with just a little bit of background. Here we are in Parshat Bamidbar, which is the beginning of the book of Numbers. Now, I'm a little sad because we have left my very, very favorite book of the Bible, the book of Leviticus, and you know, some people, okay, I have to ask again. All right, so by now, how many of you would say, yeah, I think this has gotten to be my favorite by now? Two or three people? Then we're making progress. That's good. But we're going to start today with Parshat Bamidbar, the book of Numbers. And so just want to go back a little bit. Genesis, all about creation. Creation of humanity, man made in God's image, man sinning, and the presence of God leaving the earth. Have you ever considered, is it cold in here, y'all?
No.
Okay, I'll leave it alone. Have you ever considered that Adam's sin caused the presence of God to leave his earth that he created? We see murder. Lamech came along, he married two women, perverting marriage. We saw humans preying on each other, spilling blood, mistreating women in a terrible way. And God finally said, that's it. I'm going to destroy all humanity. But he looked and he saw a tzaddik, a righteous man, and that being Noah. And he saved Noah and saved his family during the flood. So after the flood, everything was perfect. That's something else. It didn't take long before everything started going really bad. Population grew, wickedness grew, and it was the hearts of men, and it was in the actions of men. And ultimately, they ended up saying, you know what? We know about this God. We've heard about this God. We've heard about Noah and all that. We're going to prove to God that we're greater than He is. And they said, we're going to build us a tower. And in this tower, God will not be able to touch us. Of course, you know it's the Tower of Babel. And And God came along and said, "Oh, you think so? Watch what happens now." And humans were scattered all over the place. But in the midst of that, God saw one man, again, just like Noah. He saw a man of Ram, and he said, "There's somebody I can begin to use to bring my presence back into the earth." Because Ram was a man who was faithful. And he would begin the process of what is called Tikkun Olam. Does anybody remember what Tikkun Olam means? The restoration of all things. And we're still waiting on it. But it's coming. From Abraham came Isaac, and then Jacob. Jacob, who fathered the entire nation of Israel. And then he had 12 sons. And, of course, you know how it is with brothers. They all got along perfectly. And they sold him. They sold Joseph into slavery. But God had taken that process and turned it into salvation for the people of Israel, because they had to go to Egypt to escape a terrible drought. And while they were there, they became and then, of course, they were enslaved, just as God had told Abraham that it was going to happen. And so in the book of Exodus, you see that they become slaves. And then they get delivered and Passover. And then at Sinai, which is what we're celebrating today, at Sinai, they entered into a covenant with God. The presence of God came down on top of a mountain. The mountain shook. And before God had even said anything, they said, "Moses, you go talk to him. Whatever he says, that's what we're going to do." Before he even told them what his Torah was to be. That's lordship. I wonder how many of us today would say the very same thing across our nation. Matter of fact, across our nation, he's already given his word. And a lot of us who are saying that we belong to him, we'll do some of it if it's convenient for us. But that's for later. They entered into the covenant. Moshe received the Torah, and they began construction on the Mishkan, the tabernacle. God had said, "I'm going to allow you to take materials and with your own hands build something where I will come and I will live in you." He didn't live in the Mishkan. He lived in the camp with them. And so God would begin the process of re-entering back into planet Earth. And then along came Leviticus, the book Vayikra, and they were instructions for the priesthood, holy living, how the people were to worship God and how they were to approach God, how they were to walk out their lives in this covenant with each other. Very important. Somebody's mowing outside the door. And how they were to be a holy people and witness to the world. And then came the book of Numbers, which is where we are today. Now it's time to pick up everything at the base of Sinai and move forward. Do you know why the book of Numbers is significant to us today? Because we've received the word of God. And we are in the wilderness today. The kingdom of God has not been completely set up. That's a process that's taking place. As a matter of fact, if you were to go to Israel, the rabbis will say, even though we own the land, we are still in exile. And the reason they say that is because they say we will be in exile until the Messiah comes. Part of our calling here is to do our best to make sure that the Jewish people see and know that Messiah has come. Well, there is additional information that is given here as the laws, the history of the service of the Mishkan or the tabernacle during their travels. And the name Bamidbar means in the wilderness. And as you see, here's Bamidbar right here. It means in the wilderness. But in the midst of the word Bamidbar, you have the word Daber, which means to speak. A Devar, which means the word. So in the wilderness, they experienced God's word as they made their travels. And may it be so with all of us. Well, they had to hold fast to the word of God that he had sent through Moses. But I want to start by looking at Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This is all about the taking of the census. On the first day of the second month, In the second year following the exodus from the land of Egypt, the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of meeting, saying, "Take a census of the whole community of Israel by clans and its ancestral houses, listing the names, every male, head by head. You and Aharon shall record them by their groups from the age of 20 years up, all those in Israel who are able to bear arms." Wow. That's very exciting, isn't it? How many of you find yourself saying, "I want to go back, I want to read this all the time"? And you know, if we just make a casual reading of it, it's not the most exciting thing in the world. But we're going to dig into it a little bit here this morning. So basically, God has said, get ready to move forward. But before you go, make sure that you count everybody who is 20 years and older and they're able to do what? Bear arms. Well, this is not the first census that had been taken. There had already been one census taken before, and it was before the building of the Mishkan. So if there was a census taken then, why take another one now? Well, let's go back to the one that was in Exodus chapter 30 about the building of the Mishkan. That's where God said, you are to gather together, and every one of you must contribute. Anybody remember? A half shekel. A half shekel. This was a great ministry on God's part. Because they would take the half shekels and they would use that to make a lot of the implements that were used inside the tabernacle for the service of the priesthood. So if somebody comes along, "Hey, Mr. Deep Pockets, I got lots and lots of money. Let me show you how much I give." "No, you can only give a half shekel." "Hey, man, I'll take care of it. I'll pay that." "No, you get a half shekel, no more." Okay. And then the poor man comes along. "Well, I'm just a poor man." Half shekel. In other words, the ministry of this half shekel is nobody was greater than anybody else in the kingdom of God. Nobody was lesser than anybody else in the kingdom. Among the people of Israel, everybody stood exactly the same before Hashem. And of course, I'm going to jump ahead of myself. I'm not going to do that. And so now, here it is. They're going to take another census before they move out. Moses, all the clan leaders, males 20 years older, 20 years old and older, if they can bear arms. Now, what's just happened here is God said, this is a warning, without saying as much. You better count the ones who can bear arms, because along the way, what are you going to face? You're going to face some trouble. And have men who are ready and able and willing to bear arms. And this census was taken now after the building of the tabernacle. So you had one before the tabernacle for the construction of it and the implements, and now you have another one afterwards. Wouldn't it be nice, you know, just build the tabernacle and from then on, we can just relax and rest and move on with, you know, we've got everything we need right here. We don't have people around to bother us. Can't we just kind of hang out here and, you know, just enjoy each other? We don't have it. Come on, Lord. Let's just make it just us and don't bother other folks. It doesn't work that way. When you have a calling upon your life, you have to be prepared to move forward, even when it means there might be danger ahead. You have to be ready to move forward and go to action, because Israel had a higher calling and a higher responsibility. Now, I want to take a look at the Hebrew here at the beginning of Numbers chapter 1. It says, "Suat Rosh Kav Adat Bnei Yisrael." And it gets translated as, "Take a census of all the sons of Israel." However, there's something very interesting about this. Suat Rosh, lift the head of all the congregation of the sons of Israel. Okay, so we've got singular and we've got plural together. All of the congregation, we're talking about a lot of individuals. and you lift the head, singular, of all the sons of Israel. Well, this is very interesting, because you're saying take a census. What you're actually doing is they're being told raise their heads. In other words, it's not just counting somebody. It's not saying we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You remember in Parashat Kedoshim, where he says, speak to the assembly and say, you are to be holy for I am holy. This time it was in the plural. Usually God speaks to them in the singular because it's there is one group. But in that case, it was as if God was saying, you have to be holy. You have to be holy. In other words, going down the line, because each individual has a responsibility here. And now he's saying, lift the head, singular, of all the sons of Israel. Well, there are two different ways that you could look at that. And that's part of what we're going to examine here. The community, the word adot, lift the head of all adot, the community of the sons of Israel. You notice anything in the word adot that you see in the Shema at the beginning and the end? We've got those big letters. Okay? Adot, this right here, ad, means witness. So as Israel was traveling through the wilderness, they were to be witnesses every step of the way. So the community has to do this. Now I have a question for you. Moses and Aaron and the clan leaders are all there, and all of these who are being counted have to pass through. Lift the heads. We lift the head. Whose head is being lifted? Anybody want to throw an answer my way? Whose head is being lifted? Every individual, everybody who's being counted, because that makes them feel a part of what's going on. Kathy hit it on the head. We'll get to that a little bit later. So I have to stick close to my notes or I'm going to start preaching. I'm going to try to teach instead of preach. So, the leadership here is instructed, you have to count, you have to lift up everybody's head. Every individual is of great importance, but the community, everybody together as a single group, is to lift up its head. Who is the head of the community here? In this case, it's Moshe, Moses. Moses here is the leader of the community. There's a symbiotic relationship that's going on here. So the leadership lifts up the head of each individual in the community, and the community also lifts up their head, their leadership, this reciprocal relationship. A community. Step carefully here, because I almost said something political. What happens? You know, in America, we're having some people who are saying, everybody needs to be exactly the same. Everything needs to be... What happens if you have a community that has no leadership? What happens to the community? The community falls into chaos, and pretty soon you've got no community. So the community has to have a leader. Conversely, somebody comes along and he's a leader, and he's got no community to lead, to serve. And by the way, that's what a leader does. A leader serves. Then his leadership counts for nothing. Yeshua said, I did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve. So the community is served by the leader, but the community is to lift up the head of leadership also. So how does a community lift up its head? You can speak, it's all right. How does a community lift up its head? How about prayer? How many of you pray for the leadership of this congregation? I mean, it's okay, you can raise your hands. Thank you. Please pray for the leadership of this congregation. How many of you pray for the leadership of our nation? Now, these are things that leadership has got to have in prayer and in help. I want to look at Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your lives as people who will have to render an account. An account. There we go with counting again. So make it a task of joy for them, not one of groaning, for that is of no advantage to you. So it's imperative that we have to hold each other up in prayer and support with love, and to keep this covenant together, because we have been counted together. I've got a question for you. Is it wrong to want a position of leadership? If you think it's not wrong to want a position of leadership, go ahead and raise your hand. Good. Because if you're in a position of leadership, that means that you are serving. We all should desire to serve. Well, there's just one thing. Nobody will ever be a leader unless he or she first learns how to be, everybody say it, a servant. If you don't learn how to be a servant, leadership is never going to come to you. So, we all need to learn how to be servants, and that includes me. And everybody in the faith has a very specific calling. I'm going to say that again. Everybody in the faith has a very specific calling. In other words, you have been counted. You are part of the census of the body. So I want to take, nobody's left out. I want to take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 18. For indeed the body is not one part, but many. If the foot says, I'm not a hand, so I'm not a part of the body, that doesn't make it stop being a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not an eye, so I'm not a part of the body, that doesn't make it stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If it were all learning, how could it smell? But as it is, God arranged each of the parts in the body exactly as He wanted them. Exactly as He wanted them. You remember Korach and the rebellion? You remember what happened to them? The earth swallowed them up. Whatever position God has called each one of us to, He called us to do that very specifically. And incidentally, if you are called to serve in a very, very lowly position, does it mean you're going to be there forever? It doesn't. Because if we are faithful in small things, He will count us ready to serve in larger things and bigger things. So if we have left the slavery of sin and we have entered into the covenant, we must prepare to be counted and to be responsible to the community and for the community. Because if we don't stand up to be counted, and if we're not responsible, we're going to wander in the wilderness just like Israel did. We're going to change our mind about this. We don't want to wander in the wilderness. So what it gets down to is our level of commitment. And the greatest example is the head of Israel and the head of the Kehilah. And that is Yeshua. Yeshua, the Korban, so that people could draw near to the Father. He gave Himself up. So I ask you a question. Are we willing to give ourselves up? And then, by the way, I got several questions today. I don't want anybody to answer any of them, because they're all rhetorical questions. Okay? We have a very high purpose, just like Israel, because we're part of Israel. Redemption was given, but accepting that redemption costs us everything. There is no free ride. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, which is also what we're celebrating today, comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Yehuda and Shomron, indeed, to all ends of the earth. What does the word witness there mean? You will receive power to be my witnesses. Anybody know the word? It's martyros. You will receive power to be my martyrs. I don't like the sound of that. That sounds like something those other guys do. Here's the good news. God does not want us to die for Him. He wants us to live for Him. There was talk at the conference about Messianic Halakha. and it's still being developed. But I got to thinking about it. I told some people there, I said, you know, if I were to boil down Messianic Holocaust in two sentences, this would be it. One, take up your cross, follow me. And two, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his brother. When you encapsulate everything that's there, that's pretty good halakha, I would think, right? Because it contains within it a whole lot of things. And so Yeshua is telling us, you stand and you want to be counted, and you know what you're being counted for? It's going to cost you. You cannot just wait the day you die. I know Messiah. I'll just looking for the day that I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll wait until then. If we are doing nothing for the kingdom of God to get people in the kingdom of God for them to be counted, what are we worth to the kingdom? Somebody say it. Nothing. We're worth nothing to the kingdom if we're not pulling people into the kingdom. There was some discussion. And you know what? I'm going to talk about that. I'm just going to skip on that. All right. So it's all about our commitment. Witnesses. We are being called to be witnesses, to make our time count. So, God called us and equipped Israel to be witnesses. So I got some questions here I want to show you. And again, this is a self-check, don't answer. First question, what are we doing for the sake of the kingdom? Plain and simple. Well, I go to lots of Bible studies. I study the Bible all the time. And I watch lots of religious programming and everything else. Okay, fine. But what are we doing for the kingdom of God? Did you know that in Judaism, there is a saying, too much study of the Torah will drive you mad? If our knowledge of God's word exceeds our practice of it, we are wrong. We have got to put into practice God's word. Next. What are we willing to give up that will glorify God and build up the body? Next. Are we willing to be martyrs, to take up our cross and truly follow after Yeshua no matter what it takes, no matter what it costs us? Next. Are we willing to fast and pray with great diligence? And I will be the first one to say I need to do a lot more fasting and a lot more praying with diligence. That's something I need to improve in my life. Next. Are we willing to be punctual in honor of others? Next. Are we willing to give up comfort to promote the kingdom? Next. Are we willing to give up our time and resources that belong to God anyway?
Amen.
You know what? I hope you'll excuse me, but I'm going to repeat that one. Are we willing to give up our time and resources that belong to God anyway? Yeshua said, don't store up treasures for yourself. Here on earth, this is not going to last, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven. And if you think I'm asking for money, I'm not. God provides every need that this congregation has. I'm not asking anybody for money. But does God have your heart? Because if God has your heart, then you realize that what you have really is not yours anyway. And if God says give, you give. And incidentally, He will bless you in return. That's the closest you're ever going to hear me come to preaching the prosperity gospel. Because I don't like that. I think it's wrong. Next, are we willing to nullify ourselves to have Yeshua increase within us? Well, but what I want is, but what I need is, I need to nullify myself and say, Hineni, here I am. Do with me anything that you want to do. Let me serve you any way that you have called me to serve you. Are we willing to labor in God's decrees to sanctify God's name? You mean keep the commandments? Yeah. Is keeping the commandments easy? Sometimes it is. Sometimes keeping God's commandments are very, very difficult. Are we willing to do so even when it hurts? And are we willing to love people we view as being unlovable? It's really quite simple. And this is something, I'm just going to be honest with you, some I've struggled with. But when we look and we realize every single human is created in God's image. When you see people who have sworn the destruction of Israel, one-on-one, can you love them so that they'll see Yeshua in you? Yeah, but I want to take a hammer and doesn't matter. Love is what conquers. And in case it seems like I'm being hard, I'm talking to myself here most of all. So God is saying take the census. You make sure that you take the census of everybody who is willing and able to bear arms. God does not expect us to go out and do things that He has not prepared us for. Going to war? I don't want to go to war. Our war is not against flesh and blood. I like it in Isaiah where it says, no weapon formed against you will hurt you. No weapon formed against you will do anything. It'll melt in the enemy's hands. No. No weapon formed against you will even get close to you because you just dance on. No. No weapon formed against you will prosper. It may cut you. It may stab you. It may hurt you. It may break bones, but it will not prosper. So, standing and being counted for the kingdom of God. Think about a woman who has gotten pregnant for the first time. What joy when she finds out, ooh, this is great, but as the 9 months proceed, oh, and it gets painful and it starts to hurt. What happens if she says, I'm not willing to go through all of this pain and everything else? And she ends the pregnancy. You know, walking in righteousness is really easy. When God births redemption in our lives, it's so easy. And we have to walk in holiness and righteousness. Piece of cake, nothing. And then it starts getting tougher and tougher and tougher. And if we're not willing to stand and be counted and to say Hineni, no matter what, we're going to abort God's will in our life. May it never be so. Because we're going to have pain. And what we endure now is nothing compared to... It's like my sweet wife will tell you. Giving birth hurts. But once that baby's in your arms, do you even think about the pain anymore? It doesn't matter anymore. And so, we know what we're going to inherit if we remain faithful and don't abort our faith before the end. We have to stand and be counted for God's kingdom. I want to show you Matthew chapter 5. The calling is so important. You're a light for the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Likewise, when people light a lamp, they don't cover it with a bowl, but put it on a lampstand so that it shines for everyone in the house. Well, I put one of those nice wooden crosses out in front of my yard that says Jesus saves. That's good enough, isn't it? Not good enough. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they may say the good deeds you do and praise your Father in heaven. Ooh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait. do good deeds. You mean that W word works? Yaakov Hatzadi, Jacob the righteous. Jacob usually gets translated as James. What did James say about that? You show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Faith is active. Faith means doing stuff. Just sitting around, oh yeah, I believe, I got a cross out in my yard, counts for nothing. We have to be working in the kingdom of God. Letting your light shine means even when you're going through trials, it doesn't matter the trial, you still let your light shine. And that, brother, that serves as great witness. Even, and you do. God bless you for that. Even when you go through trials and you let that light shine, it serves as a great witness to everybody around, to the lost world. So, faith without works is dead. It has to be exercised even when we go through trials. I want to show you something real quick. I emailed this out to everybody not too long ago, and I want you to see this. This is from Leviticus 25:3. You know, James, Yaakov said, count it all joy when you go through various kinds of trials. I remember years ago when I was going through, oh, you just wouldn't believe it. And I read that and I thought, I'd like to poke him in the eyes for saying that. You know? But it's true. What does this have to do with counting it all joy when you go through trials? 6 years you may sow your field, and 6 years you may prune your vineyard and gather in your field. Huh. Tizra means sow. Tizmor means prune. So you sow and you prune, and you see that the words are related. But something even, you know, when you prune a plant, you prune it so that it'll be healthier, so it'll be stronger, and so that it will produce more fruit, right? Does being spiritually pruned feel good? It hurts. And we get pruned. God prunes us so that we will be more productive. And so look at what it says here in Isaiah. Hine el yeshuati eftach v'lo achad. Behold, God is my salvation, I'll trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord Adonai is my strength and my zimra. Look here. It's related. Zimor, zimra. When God prunes us, when our lives get pruned and it hurts, that's when we should dance and we should sing to serve as witness before everybody. Because if you're hurting, they're going to know it. When everything is coming against you, they're going to know it. When we're in this wilderness that we're in and we're moving from here to there, we're going to have these struggles and everything else. And we sing along the way. And yes, I'm speaking to myself first. Again, when I go, my wife is sitting over here grinning. She's wanting to laugh because she knows sometimes when I go through these things, I just want to find somebody and rip a head off, you know? I've got to learn not to think these ways. Yeshua said, to whom much is given, much is required. If you're counted, something is going to be required of you. The parable of the talents. God has three servants and he gives each one of them a different amount. And when the master came back, what did you do with what I gave you? Y'all remember the rest of the story. Revelation chapter 2. Yeshua said, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 2, 20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. What are we going to do when Yeshua stands at the door and knocks? When Yeshua has given us gifts and talents, and we stand up, we say, count me in. And he comes and knocks on the door. What did you do with what I gave you? You said to count you in. Now what? That's a frightening prospect for a lot of people, and it should be. And I can tell you this, people of Beth Simca, I want to be standing with y'all when that day comes. Because I know that you've been faithful. I have a question for you. And I'm running over time. How many of you give me just one more minute? Let me see a show of hands, please. Oh, that's about 50 of you, so I've got another 50 minutes. I'm in good shape. So, I have a question for you. And before you answer, and I want an answer, I want you to think about this. Does Yeshua need us? We need Yeshua. Does Yeshua need us? Some of you are saying yes, some of you are saying no. Well, let's consider this. Okay? Matthew 28. You know, for, you ask that to some people, and some people will be shocked. What do you mean asking that? Are you crazy? Do you not know the Lord? Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth are given to me. Therefore, go and make people from all nations into Talmudim, disciples, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even until the end of the age. So I ask you again, does Yeshua need us? Yes. The answer is yes. Hard to imagine. He told his disciples, I've done my part. Now you do what I have done. And you go and you make disciples. Hard question here. Suppose they had not done that. Suppose the disciples just said, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know, I'll fly away, O glory. And we'll just wait. How many of us would be sitting here right now? Not one of us. Yeshua needs us to stand and be counted, and He needs us to bear witness. I finally came to the conclusion one day, recently, very recently, and I don't want this to sound wrong. I don't care about Beth Simca getting any bigger. I don't care about Beth Simca growing. What I care about is the kingdom of God growing. Because I can tell you this, if the kingdom of God grows, and if you bring people into the kingdom, God will put them where He wants them to be. And if we never get any bigger, that's fine. As long as we are standing and counting for His service. That's what is important. That's what matters. So, yesterday, last night, we counted the Omer for the last time. 49 days, and today is the 50th day. It's good to count the days, but it's far better to make our days count, and that's what God really wants of us anyway. So, we're made one in the body of Messiah, and we have to stand and be counted for the sake of His name, and our rewards are not going to be here. Our rewards are going to be eternal, and that's a whole lot better than here and now anyway. And I want to finish it up with this. Luke chapter 12, 35 through 38. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit like people waiting for their master's return after a wedding feast, so that when he comes and knocks, they will open the door for him without delay. Happy the slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Yes, I tell you, he will put on his work clothes, seat them at the table, and come serve them himself. Ooh. Hang on there. Did that just say Yeshua is going to seat us at His table and He's going to serve us?
Yes.
Well, it sure did. Wow. What an honor. Whether it is late at night or early in the morning, if this is how He finds them, those slaves are happy. You know, the world just doesn't get that. How can a slave be happy? That's easy. Because we're martyrs. We've given up our life, and He has given us His life so that we really can count for something. So the upshot of it is this. We are a collective witness of Messiah Yeshua. He said, if you lift me up before men, I'll draw them unto myself. So we've been collective witnesses. And the fact is, Yeshua needs every one of us. And he's counting on us. So I ask you, are we going to determine more and more every day that we are going to not only be counted, but we're going to count for the kingdom? Are we going to lift each other up in prayer? Are we going to walk this out together? And are we going to go to the unclean and carry Messiah Yeshua to them? That's our calling. And may it be so for all of us. In the name of Yeshua. Okay. If somebody can go ahead and turn off the thing. And when you do, please make sure you hit save. Go ahead, Tom, if you'll do that. Oh, okay. You got it?
No.
All right. Please make sure you hit save. All right. So we have a few announcements that we need to make. And this is the first.